You are Locked On Hornets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
In a minute, cuz we live.
If you're wondering about the kind of Monday that I'm having as I was trying to set up my little station that I have here when we don't record at the studio, what happened was I hooked my microphone up to my computer so Nada could hear me. And then as I was plugging in the headphones, I wasn't plugging it in with the aux cord that connects into the microphone. I was actually plugging that part of my headphones into my ear. If that's something I've never done before.
That sounds like that's painful.
I didn't go too far. And so I didn't have any kind of pain, but if you're wondering what kind of Monday I'm having, that's apparently the kind of Monday that I'm having where I forgot to put the earbuds, that part of the earpieces into my ear. I did not do that. Instead, I put the place where it's supposed to hook up to your microphone. That's what I put into my ear. Luckily, no pain though. I didn't go that deep.
Thankfully. It's not as painful as per se watching Devontae Graham not finish top three in the most approved voting, but you know thankfully it's not that painful, but it's close probably.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. That'll be the opening segment on the Locked On Hornets podcast today. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. We have the local experts on the number one daily sports podcast network, and you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Hornets. As you heard from the spinning wheel of names, we are supposed to talk about Caleb Martin today, and we will get to that in the second segment. We will also give you an NBA bubble recap in the third segment, some of our thoughts on the Lakers losing another game, the Bucks, they lose another game, and then we'll talk about what I imagine is the Charlotte Hornets fan base's newest, most favorite player outside of the Hornets roster, and that is Luka Doncic, and I'll allow that to have us transition into the Devontae Graham discussion. So, Nada, the Most Improved Player of the Year award finalists came in, and that list includes just three names. It includes Bam Adebayo, who we've talked about. It includes Brandon Ingram, who we've talked about. And the third name on that list is one Luka Doncic. Luka was asked about that this weekend, and he said, who votes on this? And the guy that was asking him said, well, the media does. About 100 people in the media vote on it, including me. And he said, you can take my name off of the list and put Devontae Graham on there. And then that got everybody's attention, it seemed like, as to why Devontae Graham was not named among one of these finalists. Some of the players that got involved in this, not only is star Luka Doncic, but Dwayne Wade put that out, I believe, on maybe his Snapchat story or
something.
His Instagram story. He put it out as to these numbers don't make you a finalist going from what he had his rookie year to his sophomore campaign just this past season. I think Jamal Crawford is somebody that also tweeted at Devontae Graham saying, you know, you're good, basically keep your head up, some of those types of messages. A lot of national recognition, Nada, for Devontae Graham in a way that the Charlotte Hornets are usually deprived of. What did you make of the outpour of support for Devontae when he was snubbed from at least the finalist to win this award?
Well, the thing, I really did appreciate the fact that everyone came out and supported him. The outrage was like, outrage was strong. The support was even stronger. And it's one of those things like, I think we can take some time to recognize that maybe, like, again, and I say this as a media member, we're both media members, basically. I do say this, like, this was a gross oversight. And I think there are some lessons that we need to take from this. And more importantly, the one thing I guess, and I tweeted this out yesterday, and the one thing I didn't like about what I saw last night with the support was that this turned into an analytics versus eye test, and then like the question of who gets access started getting asked again. And like, I hate those questions, and it becomes redundant, and I hate that this Devontae Graham snub turned into that for most parts.
Well, I'm interested in who are the people that are voting, because right now we have a bunch of outrage that Devontae's not on the finalist list. And apparently those people weren't voting nearly as much because he's not among the top three. I think it was always going to be the case that you were going to have Bam Adebayo and Brandon Ingram. I think those were the two most mentioned names. And then I think Luka Doncic was kind of a part of the conversation, but not, I feel like he was a part of the conversation maybe the same way Jason Tatum was, where there was some consideration, but I don't know if there was ever real that he was going to win. I think that we had kind of gone to this, okay, well, he's a superstar. I don't know if he's going to win the Most Improved Player of the Year award. At least I didn't think so. Maybe I'm wrong in that kind of perception. But Devonte doesn't get on this list, and so it seems like maybe there's even faulty outrage from a lot of the different media members. Look, you mentioned this right before we got on to record. You're like, well, is it weird for us to be talking about this because we didn't vote him as our NBA's Most Improved Player of the Year? And the three finalists that we have, I would put Devonte Graham over Luka Doncic.
Even yes, with Luka, I agree there.
Even with Luka making a big improvement this season, I think Devonte had a better improvement. Where this is an award that has so many different fields to explore when trying to figure out who should wear the crown. And to me, I think Bam Adebayo has been the guy for me that I've always voted on. Maybe Brandon Ingram and Devonte Graham were two guys that I thought could go head to head, and it could have been a toss up. And I've said this quite a bit. Like if we arrive at the place where we think Devonte was the most improved player in the NBA, I'd be cool with it. I just casted my vote for Bam, but it does seem pretty ridiculous that guy is not a finalist. Where even if they included five names on the ballot, like they should include him. They should recognize the kind of improvement that he made because of the way that he was a G League player last season to being a borderline all-star. Even if he did have the second half shooting woes, there should be some kind of recognition for him. And it's not enough until you get all of this support from NBA players, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. The other thing that I found interesting is I don't know if you saw what Bobby Marks tweeted about how Devonte Graham was snubbed. And then Amin El-Hassan of The Jump of ESPN said, I don't typically vote second-year players. And like, I'm wondering, was that part of the voting process for a lot of these guys? But if that's the case, then Luka shouldn't have been on the ballot either. This should have been Bam Adebayo and Brandon Ingram and a guy like Christian Wood making number three. And I think that's the thing where I'm really the most upset about this is it doesn't just screw a guy like Devonte Graham. It screws a guy like Christian Wood, who deserved this just as much for doing what he did in Detroit, which is, if we're really honest, is more relative obscurity than Charlotte is right now. And unfortunately, like, this is where we need an actual criteria to most improved, to most valuable player, because these amorphous titles change into agendas so quickly that at this point, it doesn't make sense to do these awards without certain criteria, because at this point, people get screwed under agendas.
I kind of want to continue to talk about this, but first what I want to do is mention CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or a shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the most support you need when it matters the most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off of your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. So once again, that's CBDMD.com. Promo code NBA for 25% off of your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. We'll take a quick break. We have plenty more to get to on the Devonte Graham front and Caleb Martin as well as we continue our player evaluations. That's all still to come on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
This is Locked On Hornets.
But what he showed in Summer League, a Euro step into a windmill during a game, put him on the radar of all NBA. Yeah, on the radar. On the radar of all NBA fans as a nightly highlight producer. Yeah,
you're Charlotte coming out there.
Yeah, I'm from Catawba County.
Put him on the radar.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
I wanted to continue to talk about this, Nada, because...
Yes. Yes, please do.
Yeah, that was emphatic. You are ready to continue to talk about this. I am ready to talk about this because, man, I saw Bobby Marks tweet about if you're a top five pick, then shouldn't that eliminate you? And I think that's something that you may have said as well when we were talking about Brandon Ingram. I don't know why that should eliminate you. I think that if you improve so much, then it's something that is that we can continue to evaluate even if you were this top five pick. Because if you were a top five pick, that insinuates that the NBA all got it right when clearly the NBA draft is this very, very luck-based industry, right? Like, we can evaluate all we want, but it's so lucky. Whereas, are we saying that Devontae Graham, who showcased us a lot of really good college basketball, like, if you're saying who are the best players in college basketball in his final year, Devontae Graham would be among those guys. But because we dive into so many other things about who should project better as a prospect, Devontae Graham falls to the second round. But then again, he comes in and performs really well in his rookie season. So we're saying, well, we're all right about all of this. So now that Devontae Graham has clearly improved so much in his second year, which he did, we're saying that he was never that good enough to be a top five pick in the first place. Well, let me ask you this. Like, if you're doing a top five pick again of that draft, maybe Devontae doesn't fall in the top five, but he gets drafted top 10, most certainly. So we're already admitting that we were more than 20 spots off. And that's problematic to me. So when you're trying to tell me that a top five pick shouldn't be mentioned, our egos are so massive there. Well, we just assume that we were all right in the valuation process where maybe we weren't right. And maybe it does take this guy enough to, you know, improve so much. And even if we were, like, I don't know, just to me, I don't think that matters. It's funny the different things that we put this amount of importance on. Well, I don't vote for a second-year player because they're already supposed to improve. I don't vote for a top five pick because they already had high expectations, even if they didn't deliver on it. Was it just a bad outlier season, right? Like, it's kind of funny to me where, you know, Chad Pennington wins Comeback Player of the Year award.
Yeah, that's true. And he was twice. A Pro Bowl player, yeah.
Right, twice in the NFL. And maybe that's different from most improved, but it's just like, all right, well, you know, it was injury. Like, are we rewarding this guy for getting injured and then just coming back to his normal self? You know, like, it's just these kind of awards, they're fun. And I don't want to be the fuddy-duddy, oh, well, it's stupid, we shouldn't do it. I hate being like that. But man, we get into some really, really interesting ways in how we put this amount of merit in one category when it's like, okay, where does it say in the award that you can't vote for second year players or you can't vote for a top five pick?
Now, see, I do get where you're saying, but what the thing that I guess I'm more upset about when we have these discussions is that all this does is rob people of context. And it becomes one of those things where these become self-fulfilling prophecies, because if Devontae doesn't necessarily get the respect he deserves here, who's to say that's not one of those factors when it becomes free agent time and he wants to go to a bigger market? Like, this is one of those things, like, these are those self-fulfilling prophecies at some point where these guys don't get the attention they deserve in the small markets. They don't get the pub they deserve. They don't get the respect they deserve. And then after a certain point, who's to say these aren't reasons people leave small markets later? Like, that's my biggest problem with it. And the other thing, I guess, with this, Walker, is let's say Trae Young, again, does something like stupid crazy and averages 35 up from 29 and plays functional defense. We're not putting him as the most improved player next year if he does that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's going to be hard to expound upon his points per game at such a high level. But if Atlanta gets better and we do, you're right, all the things that you said become a part of the process, and yeah, maybe that is something where Trae Young is going to be a part of, you know, it's going to be the Luka Doncic effect.
And, yeah.
You know, right. Where we're just giving this guy that, and that's kind of happened with us quite a bit. And I'm not even saying those guys shouldn't be mentioned here, but it is interesting. Giannis won Most Improved Player of the Year award 3 years ago. You have a guy like, you know, Pascal Siakam, who won it last year, and there was an argument that maybe he should be again, and maybe again in the conversation as far as, because he was, you know, this MVP type player at certainly in the first month of the year. Like, that this award for Most Improved Player, it's hilarious to me. Like, some of the argument is, no, I sucked a lot worse than you did last year. Well, yeah, he was awful last year. And look, like, the Most Improved Player of the Year award is always going to be the most problematic with the way that we put this amount of merit and this specific aspect that are completely made up. Like, we decide to make them up where, okay, second year players don't count. Top five pick players shouldn't count. We don't have any base to go off of because he was in the G League. So how much does that really count? Like, it's just funny, this award more than anything else, is such a loose definition. It makes for interesting content. Like, I'm here for the conversations. It's just funny to me that we arrive at the places we do with most improved player of the year.
Like, this is, but here's the problem with these conversations. These conversations end up costing teams and players money long term with these. These are designations that will cost people tons of money when we start talking about contract negotiations. And this is kind of why I want the media to take it a little bit more serious the next time, because let's say Miles does something similar to what Devontae does next year. And we're getting, again, he gets snubbed. That's going to be a reason for him to leave. And I guess that's where I'm at. I'm at the, we must protect the small market franchises' houses, because at some point all these chickens end up coming back to roost.
Sometimes, and I hear you. Like, I mean, I think the media is taking it seriously. I think it's why they have to create something. I think it does come from a serious place when we create these weird areas that we put more merit to. But another thing that could affect that more so, as far as the money, right? As far as these teams, these small market teams keeping on to their players. For instance, let's look at New Orleans. You know, Brandon Ingram is not playing for a successful market, right? But what happens is we're all so excited about New Orleans because Zion goes there. And they do have a little bit more importance. And so maybe there is more of a spotlight on Brandon Ingram. And I actually think that he still would have been a part of the equation had Zion not been there, because it's someone that wasn't playing for so long, right? He was only there for 19 games. And so, you know, maybe the thrill of it is there, but it's not like we're all tuning in to see the Pelicans without Zion. I just think some of this is even, you got to get better is my point, right? So the Hornets have to get better in order to gain some more of that national respect. And it's just something that they haven't been able to do ever since the Bobcats came back and we got another professional basketball franchise in the city. You have to get better in order to get national recognition.
And I guess the other thing is, and this is just me preparing for the eventual anger that's going to come when PJ doesn't get that for all rookie first team. Like, I am preparing in my mind that this is that's coming, and I'm not going to be happy with that, because at this point you can make a better case for PJ being first rookie all team than you can Devontae finishing as a finalist. And the fact that the Hornets may walk away with neither in a season that shouldn't have been as good as it was, yo, that's a travesty. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it would have been nice to see one of these guys. Not that PJ Washington, we don't have any official ruling on whether he's going to be a first all rookie team member, but you're right. Like, that would suck in a season where we have positive feelings towards the Hornets, really for the first time in a long time, you know, since 2017. I mean, even with Kemba playing so well, like, even clearly with him being the greatest Hornet ever, you know, there was always in the back of your mind, what in the hell are we going to do with Kemba? Like, we couldn't even fully enjoy what Kemba Walker was giving us last season. And because we knew that it might come to an end. And at least that question was always at the back of our mind, maybe even at the forefront. And so the positive feelings, right, even if the wins and losses, even if it didn't allow you to get to the postseason, we do still feel pretty positive, I would say, about the Hornets. And that would suck to, in a positive season, not have any kind of recognition for
exactly
it,
yeah,
any kind of award for it. Not that it crazy matters, but still it would be nice to my love language is words of affirmation, Nada, and I would like my love to be affirmed. I would like my Hornets love to be affirmed with some actual awards.
Yes, exactly. Trust me, I understand. Like, I get it. I want to be told I'm great too. And at this point, like, we just want to have, like, I don't think the NBA gets, or the NBA media gets, that people in Charlotte just want to feel like we matter. And for the longest time, there's been a negative connotation with the Charlotte Hornets. Most of it deserved because of the, we'll just say, muddled decisions.
lack of success.
Lack of success. And we just want to feel like, hey, we want to be loved too, guys. And this was the way to show us that, hey, you do in fact love us. And the fact that no one did this, it just hurts. It hurts a lot.
You know what you will love if you try it out, Nada?
What will I love?
RockAuto.com.
Oh, yeah, you're right about
that. And here's the reason, right? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible, rather than charging and changing the prices based on what the market will bear, kind of like what those airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or an account login. They do have everything. No, I'm sorry for even leaving any doubt there. They do have everything. from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, they get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers, so why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. We have gone off schedule, but I loved the conversation that we were having, so we decided to continue to just kind of go off-roading in our new car that is helped by rockauto.com. So I think what we should do is we'll talk about Caleb Martin in the last segment, because I want to fit Caleb Martin in today.
Yes,
are you good with that, Nada?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's fit Caleb Martin in the last segment. Stay tuned for our evaluation on the other Martin brother in the last segment of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
This is Locked On Hornets.
I'm not a big fan of grape jelly. I'm a little insulted that you referred to me as grape jelly. I'm not a fan of grape anything. Now, I like grapes, but I don't like grape flavoring. I think it goes back to the Robitussin that I had as a kid, and I just don't like grape flavoring. Anyway, great to be back on the show.
It's time for more of the Locked On Hornets podcast.
I tried to give Cody Martin his only his own episode, I should say, where what people do with twins all the time is they try to combine them. And I wanted Cody Martin to be his own individual person. And I think I was able to do that with the last show that we did. But of course, the next name that would appear on the spinning wheel of names, it would be his twin brother, Caleb Martin. And we're doing the Martin twins back to back because I deserve that, I guess. I tried too hard to split them up, but eventually the spinning wheel of names that knows and is above all, they decided to bring them back together.
Yes. See, this is why we should have brought them together. I told you, I think we talked about this on the podcast. We needed to put them together. And then what happened? The wheel decided that I was right and you were wrong. And if we're going to talk about Caleb Martin, you know, he was a surprise. Like the biggest thing I could say is he was a surprise because I was not shocked to see him on the roster, but I thought he was going to be like the Harrison twins, where we expected nothing from either. Neither gave us anything, but instead we got two good, dare I say, serviceable twins out of this entire experiment. And who knew?
Yeah, who knew, right? I mean, we'll fit the narrative and the numbers and all of this. We'll just get all of our thoughts and
Caleb didn't play enough games to make it two separate segments.
Sure. I really liked what I saw from Caleb Martin last season. Let's go by the numbers real quickly. So in his NBA games, he played 18 in the NBA, started one. He averaged 6.2 points per game. He did that on 44% shooting from the field, but did so also by shooting 54% from beyond the arc. His effective field goal percentage would come in at 56% in the 18 games that he played. His free throw percentage came in at 81%, but just on 1.2 per game. Did average 0.7 steals per game. Did average 2.1 rebounds, also 1.3 assists. Did not average a full turnover per game in his limited time in the NBA. Most of the stats that we should go by are in the G League, where he shot pretty well and played, honestly, I think he was very good with the Greensboro Swarm and what he did. Here's the totals, right? Which is, I think, something we should be looking at when we're talking about Caleb Martin. It's someone that went 20 of 37. I mentioned the amount of, I mentioned the 3-point percentage. 20 of 37, all of them, all of the makes coming of the spot up variety. Not taking one dribble, somebody assisting Caleb Martin on a 3-point made basket, and he knocked him down. That's really valuable. Again, he only did so on 37 attempts. What makes that a little bit even more crazy is the fact that Caleb Martin took 3 3-point attempts before we even got into the month of December, where he appeared in 3 games and took those 3-point attempts and missed all of them. So when you're talking about what he did really at the end of the season, right, when he shows up against the Dallas Mavericks in that 16-point loss, but then stays up with the team all but one game he plays, that percentage gets even better when you're talking about even negating the 3 threes that he took in garbage time at the beginning of the season. Also, the free throw percentage, it does indicate that it is somebody that may can continue his really good shooting ways. And even going to the game log a little bit at the end, right? So he plays 18 total, But he also comes in, and his sixth appearance this season was against the Dallas Mavericks on February 8th, and he would stay with the team up until March 11th, of course, when that season ended so abruptly. His two best games were at the end of the season when he played against the Atlanta Hawks, and they lose by five. But what happens with Cody, or what happens with Caleb Martin in that Atlanta Hawks game is the fact that, let me pull up popcornmachine.net. It has his usage there.
That was his best game, wasn't it? Like,
well, yeah. So Caleb Martin comes into this game. I'm trying to pull up the numbers, and I'm being slow doing so. But he plays the entire fourth quarter in that game against the Atlanta Hawks. And then in that game against the Miami Heat, Caleb Martin plays goes in at the 6:50 mark in the third quarter and then plays the rest of the game. Like the last two games of the season, he plays all of the fourth quarter and a lot of the third quarter because of the way that he was hitting 8 of 10 from the field, 5 of 6 against Atlanta. And then he goes 4 of 12 against Miami, but he goes 3 of 6 from beyond the arc there. So 8 for 12 in those final two games of the season. I think all this to say, Nada, is if you were to tell me, like, who was the one Hornet where their momentum got hurt the most because of the way that the season ended so abruptly, I think Caleb Martin might be raising his hand because of he played every single game in March. He was scoring a lot of points. He scored 12 against San Antonio, 8 and 6 against Denver and Houston, but then 23 and 19 against Atlanta and Miami. And by the way, Caleb plays over 20 minutes against Houston and they win by 9, and he plays over 30 minutes in each of the games against the Hawks and Miami. It's the only reason they only lost to 5, with Terry Rozier, I think, helping out as well. Mm-hmm. But also Miami, they win. Like, Caleb Martin was a part of winning basketball with this Hornets team, and he shot really well. It's a guy that we don't have a large sample size, but man, when he played for him, some impressive things, what he did when he was called up to the big leagues.
The one thing I worry about with him, because like you said, he was probably the most hurt by the stoppage. The one thing you probably worry about most if you're the front office is this guy's a free agent. At some point, you're going to have to get you again. Someone's going to have to give him some, or I think he's a free agent or there's a player, a team option. I cannot remember, but if I'm not mistaken, like he's on one of those really low deals. So he may have made himself a lot of money on the market when this thing kicks back up for next season. So again, the thing that bugs me the most with him is like literally what was he going to be? Because if I remember right, he was the guy that was supposed to be the better scoring of the twins, if I'm not mistaken.
No, you're right.
Mm-hmm. If that was the rep for that, he was the actual scorer and that Cody was the better defender and all around player. So if he can legitimately score at the NBA level, yo, that's a gem that's an unexpected gem. And that's another notch in his cap of this front office. And I don't know, man, like he's one of those guys. If he's a free agent, he's going to make some money because someone's going to need some scoring on that at that kind of bench level.
Yeah, so the classic joke was that the Hornets selected the worst of the Martin twins in the NBA draft. And, you know, Caleb Martin was the guy that offensively you could rely on a little bit more in college. And Cody Martin was the better defender of the two. Caleb Martin, I think, showcased that it's not someone I want running the offense. Cody Martin is the facilitator. He's the one that looks a lot more comfortable with the basketball in his hands initiating an offense. But Caleb was certainly the better scorer coming out of college. And you even look at his two-point percentage. So it wasn't all great with Caleb. The two-point percentage that he had was, I believe, 36%, which it's just atrocious. I mean, you know, shooting 36% from inside of the arc, it's awful. And a lot of that was because he could only shoot, I think, about 44% at the rim. So that was a really big problem area for him.
But the one thing I would ask you about that, Walker, how much was that was him trying to challenge dudes that he shouldn't at the rim?
I think a lot of that was that. I think what he tried to do was he just tried to dunk on everybody. He tried to be crazy aggressive. And I guess to his credit, finished strong, but I don't think there was a whole lot of, you know, smartness to it. Like, you know, you can do different things to get to the basket rather than just trying to jump from the free throw line and dunk on people, which is what he tried to do. I appreciate that. Like, we're going to get a really exciting play one of these days from you. But it's not something that I want you to continue to do and then come up empty handed. If you're only going to shoot 36% from two, then that's a real big problem that needs to be fixed. And it can be helped by you actually finishing at the rim a lot better. But yeah, I mean, this is someone that I we can't say that he's going to be a pillar of the organization, right? We can't say that he's certainly going to be even a rotational player based on what we saw last year. But Caleb Martin did sign a 3-year deal with the Hornets, and so okay. he's going to be on this team. Yeah, you don't have to really worry about losing him. You do have a 3-year deal with Caleb Martin right now, where he's going to be, you know, making an average salary of about $1.3 million. It's, you know, this is someone that possibly could become a guy that becomes a rotational player if he can continue to hit like he did from the 3-point line. And honestly, I actually think his shooting got a little bit better, where he kind of, I don't know, I feel like he was shooting on the way down. I feel like he's got this weird kick out when yeah. he shoots. And I think that kind of got fixed a little bit, which is more credit to the Hornets shooting staff. The shooting coaching staff, where they're able to fix it. There's some real stuff there. You know, it just goes to me to show that when we talk about guys that were really hurt, you know, Caleb could have, and he did end the year on a high note. He did. But yeah. I wonder how much that momentum could have carried even more so had they were able to get a few more games under their belt. I mean, he played over 20 minutes in every game, but that Denver Nuggets loss that they had to only 2 points. And in the last month of the season, like this was somebody that was hurt along with the Jalen McDaniels. A lot to like there, Nada. I'm excited about what we could see from Caleb.
Yes.
You know, I'm more excited with Cody because he's a second round pick. He gave you 1,000 minutes of production last season. And so I'm going to go with that sample size, of course, but we already know about the shooting that needs to come with him. With Caleb, it's all right. You know, defensive intensity is there. The ability to shoot at least right now hopefully can remain for him. Hopefully it's someone that can continue to maybe even create a little bit for himself. I don't know if that's ever going to be something from him.
True.
But there are some things to like about the small sample that Caleb gave us with the NBA team, and there's enough reason to believe in this organization to develop talent that this is a guy that could stick around.
Now, here's the only question I would have for you in some terms of this, Walker. What happens if this team drafts a wing? He's probably the odd man out more than anyone else. We know Nick Batum, if he's on this roster, is going to be one of those guys that's probably going to see a lot of DNP CDs. Do not dress. He's going to look very, very fancy for all of his $26 million. But again, if they draft another wing, like a Denis or maybe even an Anthony Edwards, if they get, again, high enough in the lottery, like, isn't Caleb Martin the odd man out? And then what do you do with him then? That's my question.
Yeah, I don't know how the rotation is going to look with either of these guys, you know, with all of these players, depending on what kind of rookie they decide to draft. And here's the thing, you know, you're talking about the second rounders in this draft. Like, you know, if the second rounders delivered last year for this team as soon as year one, then what are we going to get as far as, you know, these second rounders that come in from this draft? How are they going to look? Like, are we just going to have, you know, two other players that are drafted in the second round that look really good? You know, it's a fun problem to have. It's a fun problem to have all of these, you know, good and surprising later round picks actually develop for you. And it doesn't mean that we can make some sweeping statement that they're going to be a part of this organization for quite some time. But you know what? They're second rounders that have a chance to. And that's way more than we can say about any other second rounder that Rich Cho picked besides Dwayne Bacon, who seems to be on his way out, and Jeffrey Taylor with the Bobcats. And we all know how that went. We all know how Jeffrey Taylor eventually found himself out of the organization. Those are the
two guys. His own fault, again, which we do not condone on this podcast, by the way.
No, we do not. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Hornets. Thanks again to you guys for supporting the show as always. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode.
Wait, Walker, we got something to do.
Oh my God. Every time. I don't know why. I have it pulled up and I just never remember to do it. I always go to the script at the end and I can never find a way to actually fit that in real time. So I'm trying to spin it. My internet, of course, is not working all that correctly because that's what happens here on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Everything breaks. I understand. So look, at this point, like the wheel is the wheel, and the wheel is only going to have what, like two or three more names on it? Like we have what, like two, three, four more names?
All right. I'm getting rid of Caleb Martin and the names that we have now. It's Devontae Graham.
Okay.
Malik Monk.
Okay.
And the combined episode we will do of Marvin Williams and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Okay.
So here we go. I've got it up. Thank you for stalling enough for me. That was an awful job on our part, but we found a way to do it. We're spinning, and Malik Monk is up next.
Should we call Doug?
Maybe we save that one for Wednesday and wait for Doug to join us on Wednesday to do the Malik Monk episode. So Malik Monk, that's going to be the next guy on the list for us to evaluate. You can expect that Malik Monk episode to drop tomorrow and should be a fun one. Real polarizing dude. A guy that has a lot of questions in the air. And I think probably, I mean, it has to be the most critical season of Malik Monk's career coming up this next season.
Yeah,
like we said.
Yeah, we prepare for the takes, guys. Prepare for the takes.
Tell your smart device, like I said, to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow with an episode on Malik Monk.